We are on the edge of summer. There are all of the usual clues, of course. Students and teachers are counting down the days. As a church, we just had our Silver Lake camp weekend, and the next week is the Sunday school picnic. And then, as of June 28th, the weekly potlucks. Oh, the summer potlucks. And as I check out the changing produce shelves at the mustard seed co-op at the end of my block, I know it's growing season. It's the time of year when we've been looking at last year's apples and sweet potatoes for so long that when we suddenly see asparagus, rhubarb, and strawberries, God bless strawberries, feels like cause for fireworks. It's growing season, and I can hardly wait to see what colorful fruit or vegetable will pop up next. My own gardening is pretty limited, mostly recreational, and definitely by trial and error. So when I actually succeed in eating something that I had planted, it feels like a miracle has just occurred. It's growing season in the Gospel of Mark today, too. Jesus is out and about telling his parables again. And he's got planting and growing and harvesting on his mind, images that his listeners would understand. And the growing that he's talking about has a sense of the miraculous about it, too. Jesus is talking again about the kingdom of God. We know this isn't a place you get to with a map. It's not a jurisdiction with borders. The kingdom of God is about the dynamic reality of God's presence and power within the creation and within the lives of God's people. It's among us, around us, and within us. And Jesus is trying to talk to his friends about it, so he often uses parables. The word parable means to throw alongside. So we think of it as a comparison, but there's not always a direct this equals that all the way through every parable. It's more like Jesus is saying, okay, I want you to understand something about this amazing reality. So I'll put that up alongside it. And they're not exactly equal, but they run parallel. So they make you go back and forth between them as understanding that teaches you something about this. So up alongside the kingdom of God, among, around, and within us, Jesus throws two planting stories and says, take a look at this. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. So what might this have us think about the kingdom of God? I have two thoughts. The first is that the kingdom of God is inevitable. Maybe that's hard for us to believe when we see so much in the world that is broken, so much pain, so much that needs repair, so many people and relationships and communities who need healing, so many who lack so much of what they need. And especially in the Mennonite church, we put Jesus' radical call for peace and social justice at the center of our walk of faith. There's always some good thing we could be doing. You may even feel like there's always some good thing you should be doing. And I believe it is true that our call to actively follow Jesus with our lives never sleeps. But neither does the kingdom of God. And that's actually a pretty big relief. Because I don't mind admitting, and I hope you knew this when you hired me, but I am not Superwoman, despite that t-shirt I have. I cannot do everything. And another thing I don't mind confessing, sometimes I do things wrong. Sometimes, for example, I am short-tempered with a service person who is frustrating me, and I do not shine the light of Jesus into their lives. So it is an amazing relief to know that even though I mess up, and even though the broader church messes up and sometimes puts up walls against growth, I am relieved to know that the kingdom of God will still inevitably and stubbornly grow, we know not how. And if we consider the inevitability of the kingdom of God, it might change the questions we ask. Instead of wondering, how can I bring God into this situation? We might wonder, how is God's kingdom already growing here? A couple of weeks ago, I showed you a video where Brian Bauman said that he knows that God is already having a conversation with the person across from him. The kingdom of God is going to grow, whether we're doing our share of nurturing it or not. So let's keep our eyes open. As we head into summer, many of us are going to be coming and going at different times. Some of us seeing new places, meeting new people, hopefully learning new things. How will you pay attention to your surroundings? Can you try looking and wondering, how is the kingdom of God growing here, in this place, in this person? Try asking it about the person you least expect, the person who gets on the most of your nerves, the person who seems to hold themselves the furthest away from the heart of the church, or the people who seem to be held behind the most barriers so they can't reach the church even if they want to. How is the kingdom of God growing there? Because we don't make it grow. God is going to make it grow with us or despite us. It's inevitable. But the kingdom of God may also be gradual. This parable of the kingdom is not of fireworks exploding or a parachute opening. It's a parable of the slow and steady growth of grain, the journey from planting to harvest, which takes different amounts of time depending on how much rain there's been, what kind of fertilizer you started with, how the sun shines at your latitude. But it will definitely take time. And that's also something that's true about the growth of the kingdom of God. And when we realize that, we start to be able to shake some of our anxieties. We can talk to the young adult who isn't so sure that church is right for her and not be anxious, because she can still teach us how God is at work. We can sign our petitions and go on our peace marches and do our acts of solidarity, because even when we don't see it yet, God's kingdom is still growing. And one day it will pop up from the soil and start to become visible to our untrained eyes. I happened to see a quote from comedian Will Ferrell this week that said, before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see who they really are. Gradual motion can make us impatient, can make us angry, can make us anxious. But the kingdom of God is not necessarily going to work on our schedules. So the kingdom of God asks a lot of us 21st century folks, to be able to invest in something now for which we might not see the fruit. To do something in someone's life that will only be ready for harvest when someone else comes into their life. It takes a lot of grace to trust that the kingdom of God neither depends upon us nor waits for us to set our schedules. It's just going to grow within, around, and among us, and we can keep up as best we can. I have one more word for the kingdom of God, and it comes from the second parable that Jesus tells us in this section. The parable goes like this. Jesus also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. I've got a warning for you all. The kingdom of God is invasive. Hamilton has a long history with making mustard, of course, nearly 150 years, so mustard's probably been great for our economy. But the people who first heard Jesus' parable were probably kind of chuckling. The mustard plant to them was an invasive species, a weed, that sure enough did become the greatest of all shrubs without help from anyone else. No one was out there sowing mustard seed. It's kind of like saying today that the kingdom of God is like Creeping Charlie or bindweed or purple loosestrife. Oh, maybe this makes the gardeners in the group cringe and think, why would I want the kingdom of God to show up? Well, I love this funny image of the kingdom of God being an invasive species. And one podcast I listened to this week said it best. Jesus is saying that this is a kingdom that's going to get into your stuff. In other words, you may not realize this at first, but before long, the kingdom of God is going to try to cover everything. It's going to get into those decisions you used to make without thinking how they affect others. It's going to get into the words you say, into your wallet, into your free time, into the way you observe the media, into the stuff you haven't dealt with yet. If there was any way you ever tried to keep your life compartmentalized into faith issues and personal issues and business issues and whatever, well, you're going to have mustard growing all over it. The kingdom of God is going to be saying, this is where I need to grow. If you decide to try to root me out of this patch of earth in your life, that's your choice, but this is where I need to grow. Do remember that a parable throws something alongside, so the original is not exactly the same as the image. I mean, we do try to get rid of botanical invasive species. But imagine people laughing as they heard this parable, but then getting it. The kingdom of God is going to get into your stuff. And although its origins may be humble, the greatest of all ground covers. And some will be out there scoffing at it or telling you how to weed it out of your life. If you let it grow, like the mustard seed, it will reach out and provide sanctuary to all that comes near, like the birds of the air making nests in its shade. The kingdom of God is inevitable, sometimes gradual, and invasive. And all of those things make it very surprising, not quite what we expect. That's certainly the lesson that Samuel had to learn when he set out to find a replacement for King Saul. You might have thought that Samuel would know by then to just hold still and listen after his experience as a child being mentored by Eli. In the night, Samuel heard a voice and ran to look for the most logical source. But it wasn't Eli speaking. It was God speaking. And here again, as Jesse's sons are presented to the great prophet, Samuel starts by seeing the strong oldest son and figures, here's the most logical choice. But luckily, he does still listen. And God tells him that no, the kingdom of God is growing slowly but inevitably in another place, in another plan for leadership. And then we go all the way down through the sons until Samuel actually has to ask, do you have another son hiding somewhere? And once again, unexpectedly, it's the youngest who is surprised with the blessing. Samuel and the seed parables teach us not to make our conclusions based on what we think we see, because we don't always know what is silently, surprisingly growing. We might need to learn to be like Samuel and do our best to listen for what God is doing under the surface, beyond our first impressions, beyond our snap judgments, outside of our logical assessments of a situation. God may be growing something that we can't see. As you think about everything else that you're planning to do this summer, come and go, rest, relax, mind your garden, maybe it will also cross your mind to wonder, how could I open myself to the idea that God is working where I can't yet see it? What person do I need to pray for so I can hear how God is present with them? What group of people do I need to learn about so that God can help me to learn from them? The Truth and Reconciliation Commission just ended. How many stories have you listened to from that? What or who makes me anxious so I block the chance for growth? What opinion am I entrenched in that needs to be able to hear some differing perspectives? I'm going to warn you, though, this kingdom of God is going to get into our stuff. And if we're really listening for God, I believe God will speak somehow, inevitably, maybe gradually, and certainly invasively into every part of our lives. So look out for some holy surprises this summer. And like David, may the Spirit of the Lord come mightily upon you from this day forward.